everybody. Welcome again to another episode of the Brothers Lane Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
On to the next round.
Man, it was a crazy second round.
Starting the West, we got a rematch.
And it looks like it's gonna be a good one.
Yes, yeah, Spurs came out the gate already. Set the tone. I'm happy about it. 105-83 win. Big just.
Yeah, that was a huge victory for the Spurs. And I kind of had a Spurs win in this series just based off experience. This is the first time Memphis has been here. You know, just like the last series, I picked the Spurs due to the experience. It's the same with the Memphis Grizzlies. The Spurs have just been there before. And you could clearly see today, you know, the lights weren't too bright for them. They would cherish the moment. They were poised, and they handled their business.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, franchise playoff record, 14 threes, 14-29.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, Tim Duncan didn't have the best game.
And they still walloped them.
I mean, Tony Parker came in aggressive. They were just attacking the paint. And I was a little nervous. I mean, coming off that, you know, intense six game with Golden State, a lot of a shootout, coming into a more slow-down defensive game. And, I mean, they let Memphis know for sure that we here.
But Tony Parker looks like he's getting real close to 100%, and I think that's key for them.
Oh, yeah. Loving him, 9 assists, 9 of 14. 3 turnovers. So, yeah, he's looking aggressive. I mean, the Spurs are going to win this series. They're going to need him to, you know, to play big.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, without question. Oh, man, Memphis, but, you know, it was tough roles for both teams getting here. Spurs had to pull out some close ones against the Golden State Warriors, a team that very young, you know, has a young coach, Mark Jackson, who's done a very good job with both Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, as well as Jared Jack. They got a little three-headed monster back there in the backcourt, and they look like an exciting team to watch, and looks like Steph Curry's ready to take that next step in his superstar.
Oh, no, I'm excited for Golden State. You know, Steph Curry definitely made his name known. I mean, he was making his name known in the regular season, you know, hitting mm-hmm. 50 points in the Garden, but I mean, getting past Denver, upsetting Denver in the first round, pushing the Spurs to 6. And they showed they got something. Mark Jackson got the pulse of his team. He looks like he's going to be a great coach down the line.
If they're able to upgrade their bench, they're going to be a scary team.
Yeah, I mean, just having, you know, those young guys playing minutes. I mean, Ezekiel with a rookie, Harrison Barnes, looked like that guy that everybody was talking about when he was coming out of high school.
Yep.
So, yeah, Dante Green. I mean, they have some nice things going on. I mean, they're pushed up against the cap. You know, see if, you know, Jared Jack, you know, may want some more money now that he's kind of made himself a name, showing what he's been doing in the league and what he's continued to do. He might be up for pay grade. You know, Carl Landry, free agent also. They got some hard.
Carl Landry seems like a guy. He just can't stick anywhere for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't get that. He always seems like he's always a solid big off.
He always produces. Yeah, he always produces wherever he goes. He just can't find a home anywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, for some reason he just gets 1 year deals.
He reminds me of Chris Gavin.
Yeah.
Who used to just bounce around. He was a solid dude, but he would always just bounce around for whatever reason. I don't know. But, hey, Carl, come on down to Chicago. We got room for you.
Hopefully, Golden State can keep him in. They can get, you know, David Lee healthy again. Andrew Bogut. If Andrew Bogut can get healthy, I mean, they're going to be a little scary.
Another big if.
Yeah. I mean, shit, and that's all predicated on the big if of Stephen Curry's ankles.
Yep. So.
Put up all the numbers. He was still getting bothered by him, but, you know, they got something good brewing. I love the fact that their fans were cheering them on after the game was over. Even, you know, took a minute to thank their fans for all the support. Hey, I mean, That's what you love to see. You love environments like that. Same with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Despite all
they didn't have Westbrook, but you know, they fought.
Yeah, they fan showed.
Well, let me say, Kevin Durant fought. Can't say the same about the whole team, but a few of them. Kevin Durant played his butt off.
I feel bad. I really do, because this is the ugly part of the playoffs. I mean, they've been moving up every year, and now all of a sudden, I mean, they fans love them. Fans are still cheering on them. They not going nowhere, but all them people that was, you know, last year giving mad love, OKC, they next. Now it's like, oh, Sam Presti, stupid. He should have never made that trade.
Well, here we go. James Harden, you should have.
Man, had they had James Harden.
Hindsight's always 20/20. Had Russell Westbrook not been hurt, we wouldn't have heard a thing about James Harden.
Right. They still might have lost to Memphis.
Exactly.
Memphis
exactly.
Is that good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
No, I hear what he had to do. Now you got some Kevin Durant doubters. Like, oh, he wasn't clutch in the fourth quarter.
I don't understand that. I mean, I know dudes was hard on LeBron, you know, and Cass is going to be hard on Durant. But, look, he did as much as he can. You can only do so much as one player. Your role player's got to step up a little bit. You know, Reggie Jackson showed what he got, proved he can be a solid backup, come in and play the point, move Russell over to the two-guard, things of that nature. So that's one thing they did find out. But besides him, you know, Derek Fisher for a few games, the role players really didn't play well. Kevin Martin did not have a good series. Sofolosha was okay. You know, it was just – even Serge Ibaka was kind of iffy. Eric Perkins was kind of whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he really didn't get the help that he deserves. You know, and I know everybody gave LeBron flack, and he played – Cleveland with nobodies and blah, 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 blah. And I get
that. A lot
of
guys do
that. You know, it's the same thing with Kevin Durant. I mean, you can only do so much as one guy.
Yeah, it's been like that with, you know, with Dwight Howard, Chris Paul. And I mean, that LeBron ain't the first.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, we making it like LeBron been the only superstar who's been the one guy on his team and struggled. I'm like, a lot of great players have gone through that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin Durant – you know, felt it. I mean, clearly he stepped his game up. I mean, he more points, you know, added almost like 3-4 more rebounds a game.
His butt off.
Yeah, I mean, he stepped it up. He was just burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he shot 5 for 21. I'm like, he's the only one who can get his shot off. Even when Harden was there, it was always Durant and Westbrook as like the two beasts.
Exactly.
And then Harden is
exactly.
Sick, man.
Exactly. So, I mean, they got some – they're looking up. I mean, they got, what, 2 first-round picks? So,
yes.
you know.
I saw that stat that they put up right after the game on TNT that I thought was kind of cold after they lost. Was like, oh, they owe Kendrick Perkins $18 million over the next 2 seasons. Like, damn.
Oh, my God. You know what? So what? Okay, that's fine. You know, Jeremy Lamb – coming up, he play in the D League, so I look at him to be the replacement for Kevin Martin. He showed he could score, he showed some things down there, so yeah, they'll be okay. They'll be fine. Russell Westbrook will be back. You know, they still got Perry Jones, a rookie out of Baylor they picked. They got another extra pick next year, so you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they'll have
gonna get better. They're young enough, but they're still getting better. So
I mean, you got Dwayne Westbrook. They're not even 25 yet.
But I will say, I gained so much respect for Kevin Durant. He did the one thing I wish a lot of players would freaking do, which is in the whole press interview, when he was like, look, I ain't Kobe, I'm not LeBron, I'm not Jordan, I'm Kevin Durant. Thank you. I wish more players would do that. Like, look, stop comparing me to all these dudes. I am me, I am who I am, and I'm not going to change that for anybody. And I appreciate that about him.
No, I respect him for that.
Yeah, questioning his leadership and his passion and all this. It's like, look, I am who I am. Just because I don't show fire don't mean I don't have the fire inside of me.
Right, I don't have to be like him.
You know, everybody. Yeah, exactly. You know, you got somebody in Russell Westbrook who's that kind of guy. You don't necessarily need 2 of them. We saw what happened in the Lakers when he had 2 of them. It didn't last very long. They were butting heads. So, I mean, you got the yin and yang kind of thing going with Russell Westbrook and Durant. Like I said, I appreciate Durant and what he said, and that I'm me. You know, I ain't Jordan, I ain't Kobe, I ain't LeBron, I am Kevin freaking Durant, and that's who I'm going to be. More power to you, Kevin Durant. More power to you.
Yeah, and people probably gain a little more respect for Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, he there in the sidekick, and he need to shoot less. I mean, granted, he could, you know, Kevin Durant still showed he could still put up the points, so we still agree
mm-hmm.
that maybe Westbrook can take a few more shots. But, I mean...
Yeah, a few less shots. A lot.
Clearly, it was a two-man tank game.
Mm-hmm.
All them fools who were like, they just need to get rid of Russell Westbrook, and what does he do? What's his value? Like, well, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you question him, like, so now when the guy plays with passion and fire, he gets ridiculed for it, and then once it's gone from the team, now you're like, well, how come the other superstar don't play like that? Like,
you got to leave it alone. There's certain circumstances. I mean, you look at when Jordan left and Pippen led that team to the finals. Didn't nobody say Pippen was better than Jordan. You weren't debating that. It didn't come up because it was just like, leave it alone.
Yeah, you just realize maybe Westbrook is that good.
Exactly.
And when these two guys are on, when they both on point, they just hard to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how it goes in the playoffs. I mean, people were ready and, you know, now fool's got that timeline. Well, you've been in the playoffs 5 years. You ain't won yet. What's wrong? Like, is it that easy?
It was that easy. Jordan had his struggles.
Yeah. Every superstar in the league ever would have a ring if it was that
everybody,
easy.
Everybody ain't Magic Johnson running them in their rookie season.
Right.
Just
everybody, you know, everybody ain't Jordan winning six. Some
exactly.
dudes just don't ever get there. Steve Nash ain't
Jordan,
ever been there.
Jordan won six, like, in his prime. It wasn't early on. It was later on.
Yeah. It takes dudes a while.
Exactly. Everybody in Bill Russell won an 11 ring. It doesn't happen all the time. So
look at Wilt.
Exactly.
Wilt won two.
Exactly. Look at Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson got one.
Yeah. Jerry West took him forever.
Elgin Baylor got none.
It doesn't diminish your greatness. It just means that you playing some tough teams and it's not easy.
Exactly. That's, you know, that just shows the era you were playing in and the competition you were playing against.
So this San Antonio Memphis, what you think? Who do you
Spurs? I've already said the Spurs. I'm picking the Spurs and six. I think this is one of those series where Memphis will win their two at home. And then I think the Spurs will close it out from that point forward.
Okay.
You know, the inexperience that Memphis has, you know, once they get home, they'll have the crowd behind them, the excitement, the adrenaline will kick in. You know, they'll play well. And then once they get back to San Antonio, that's it. Spurs is like, that's it. That's a wrap.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in seven. I want to say six. This series is going to be hard. I'm glad they got this first win out the way. You know,
that is Z-Bo don't play better.
Yeah, I don't expect him to go 1-for-8, 1-for-7
Oof.
Game again.
They were locking him down, boy.
Yeah, they just threw everything at him, couldn't get comfortable, and then honestly, like, he couldn't get the ball. I mean, 8 shots? Your number one guy gets 8 shots. That's not going to cut it.
Nope.
Hey, Marc Gasol did his thing. I still think the key is going to be Tony Allen and Prince because Spurs are going to key in on Randolph and Gasol and make things hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they don't have to shoot like the Spurs do, so I think those guys are going to have to play a big role into getting Memphis any hope of going to the NBA Finals. Spurs, I mean, shoot Tiago Splitter, keep it up. He didn't really do much today with just he had 4 fouls, but we need that big body, that big presence. But we don't, you know, if he gets out, I mean, Diaw and Bonner, not even Blair can handle Z-Bo and Gasol. So they need him, and if, you know, they play well, these role players can still step up and hit these buckets. It's on to the finals again.
I have to agree with you. I think for Memphis, it's going to be their role players. I mean, like you said, the Spurs are going to key in on Gasol and Zach Randolph. You saw they threw two guys at him most of the time, trying to force the ball out of their hands. So, of course, you know, they're going to have to rely on the other guys to hit their shots and make their shots. You know, Tony Parker, as far as I'm concerned, he and Mike Conley are kind of a wash right there. The key is going to be Prince and Tony Allen. I mean, those two starters are going to have to ball as well as the bench. Jared Bayless is going to have to come off the bench and do some things. So we'll see what happens there. For me, the Spurs, it was Boris Diaw. I just think the versatility that he brings to the table is key for them, with his ability to pass. You saw what he was able to do defensively. His defense has really taken a step forward under the tutelage of Greg Popovich. And he's come up big for the Spurs in key moments. So he's a veteran. He's been around the league a long time. And guys know what to expect from him. So I'm looking for him to do some big things.
All right, man. On to the East. Got a rematch of the second round from last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting testy already.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana just comes out, and hey, I mean, you thought the Knicks weren't gonna win any. I mean, they won two, but
yeah.
Hey, man, that block.
The outcome is what I expected it to be.
You saw that block.
That block by Roy Hibbert was disgusting.
Man,
Carmelo, get out of my house.
That camera angle on that was so low. Like, that is sick. Like,
that
he
is
was
why.
About to yam it.
That is why I said he was the key. Front line. If that front line was able to step up and ball, they were going to win it. And boy, did they step up and ball. I mean, Tyson Chandler looked foolish against Roy Hibbert these past couple games. You know, for a guy who came out and was calling out his teammates, that ain't the performance you looking for. 6 points, six fouls, not a way to go out, especially in an elimination game. So, you know, he's definitely somebody who's going to have to bounce back next year. It's a playoff poison himself. I mean, he did what he could, but
he got out the first round.
Well, baby steps, I guess. So he got out the first round, but lost in the second. So it is what it is.
Yeah,
J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, I don't know what to do with him. I honestly don't know if he's coming back. He's another one who's going to look to go cash in, try to rack in some dough. So we'll see what happens with that. So they're in need of an infuse of some more talent. They have shooters, but that's kind of where it stops.
Yeah, I mean, Novak ain't play. Jason
Copeland
Kidd
barely played.
Jason Kidd might just be time.
Mm-hmm.
He was non-effective. I feel like I don't think he scored a point in that series.
Yeah, I think he's at the end of his career. And if so, it's been a great one.
Oh yeah. Definitely Hall of Famer for sure. But yeah.
Oh yeah, without question. Got to give some love to the Pacers. They did their thing. Paul George is continuing to be consistent as he can be. George Hill came up big after suffering a concussion to play in that last game, and he came up huge for them as well.
Yeah,
and
he set the tone for them.
Let's give it up for Lance Stephenson. I mean, my goodness. That was his little, I guess, his coming out party, if you want to say.
Yes.
Really carried the team in the fourth quarter and helped them pull out that win. And, hey, he's a guy to look out for. A lot of people were questioning him when he came. He had some legal issues his rookie year. Didn't get much time. But now you see what Larry Bird saw. And you see what the organization saw. He's got skills. He can defend very well. So, he's another one of those young up-and-coming players that's going to be good for a long time. The only question that remains now is, and it happens all the time, we see it every year, now that he's balling, what do you do with Danny Granger?
Yeah, either Danny Granger's going to be the sixth man, or
he's out.
He'll probably shop him.
Yeah.
I know he'll be a free agent the following summer. But, I mean, this is what they wanted. And you see Paul George was going to take over the small forward. He got it, and he's claimed it.
Yep, and he ain't giving it up. So.
Nah, Indiana looks for real.
Oh, yeah, they look serious.
That defense, one of the
pays right
out
of the Bulls. Pays right out of the Bulls.
Lance Stephenson, I mean, last year he wasn't getting much run. Of course, he had the incident with doing the choke sign and LeBron and then talking to Juwan Howard and everybody's like, who is this dude? Shut up. I mean, now we like, all right, now you starting at the two guard. Grabbing 10 boards, putting up 25 points, and we're not going back to New York. And I know he's going to have the task of probably guarding D-Wade in this series. You know, now everybody's going to be like, all right, you now what's up? You know, these teams.
Yep.
You know, we already seen LeBron get kind of a little upset about being referred to as just another team.
First of all, I want to clarify that. He didn't say just another team. He said there's the next team in the way. So for LeBron to get upset and say we're not just another team, we're a great team and, you know, blah, 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 we should be respected. It's like, to me, that just says, all right, they're already in your heads. You know, you're sitting there getting upset. Obviously, he's pushing some buttons if you're getting a little offended by his comments. So, hey. That's fine. Talking about we don't need any bulletin board material. He didn't give you any bulletin board material. If anything, you giving them bulletin board material.
Yeah, they respect you. I mean, they don't like you.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be like, oh, Miami Heat, yeah, they suck. They
Frank Vogel
like
said
you.
Nothing disrespectful about the team. He didn't say they were weak. He didn't say they weren't a good team. All he said was they are the next team in our way to get to the finals. That's all he said. So for them to get really offended by that tells me, like I said, it tells me that they're in their heads already, which is not a good thing to start this series.
No, I don't. I kind of read it and was like, what? And you're like,
yeah, I'm like,
that's,
what?
That's not, you know, it wasn't disrespect. I mean, you could, you know, if you wanted him to be like, oh, yeah, we playing the Heat, man. I mean, they the defending champs and, you know, giving you all this accolade and praise. I mean, that'll come in the series, and I'm sure he'll say it when they interview him before the series. I mean, he'll be like, you know what, Miami's a great team, but that's what they are. I mean, what
do you
LeBron
to say you don't,
you don't, the same
you,
way.
You don't prepare for just another team. It's like, so are you saying you don't prepare for, you know, the weaker teams of the league?
Right.
You
I mean,
go out there and just do what you do. I mean,
it's up to
you
interpretation.
Know,
and you
it's
just
like,
interpreted it as a slight. I'm like,
yeah.
And he's probably like, if that's how he took it, then okay.
Yeah, that's how he wants to take it. And I'm sure that'll be Frank Vogel's response. If that's how LeBron wanted to take my words, then that's fine.
Right. I mean, every team technically is another team in the way of us getting to the championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to say how big it is and, you know, give much, you know, respect, they are. That's. He didn't want to answer it. They just got off this big win, you know, going to the finals. I mean,
to me
the finals, and, you know, he's like, probably, I guess if it was another team, he probably would have said something, but he's like, yeah, I don't like them. So I'm not going to be out there kissing their butt. I'm going to just say, I'm not going to say nothing that's going to be negative, but I'm not going to be like, oh, they the shit. He's like, yeah, we got to do
that. That makes me wonder if the Heat are a little nervous. I mean, they just went through a hard-fought battle with the Chicago Bulls, a depleted team who wasn't really healthy. And now you're pretty much playing a team who plays pretty much like them. Very physical. They rebound. They hustle. They play D. But they're a lot healthier. And at this point in time, more talented than the Bulls are. So they're in for a dog fight. And it would not shock me at all to see Indiana beat them.
It wouldn't either. I mean, Miami's going to be favored to win every damn series they end.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. So I guess if they lose, it'll be like, wow. But I'm like, once you get to the conference finals and beyond, ain't nothing shocking. You know, now if it was the eighth seed that, you know, made it all the way there to the final, then yeah, that would be shocking. But other than that, I'm like, Indiana's been close to being, you know, second, third best team. They clearly proved they're the second best team in the East, and now they want to show that they are the best team in the East.
Mm-hmm. And for Miami, I mean, you know, like I said, they just had a battle. The six games with Chicago, were able to pull it out. Bulls kept it close, you know.
How you feel about your squad, man? How you feeling?
I got tweeted after some time to reflect and, you know, just analyze the season. Like I said, I'm proud of my team. Look at the Bulls. They were a team that was banged up all freaking year, starting when Derrick Rose out for the whole season. You know, and they battled. They were a team that won the East twice with Derrick Rose healthy. He got hurt, and, you know, we made it to fifth, which, you know, is a lot better than a lot of people expected us to. A lot of people almost thought, some people thought we wouldn't make the playoffs. Some people had us at 8th seed, 7th seed. You know, we made it all the way to 5. You know, we had to do some battling at the end to make it there, but our guys hung together. We kept it close. I mean, of course, I mean, MVP at a Bulls playoffs. I mean, you got to split it. You got to give it to Nate Robinson and Joakim Noah. Those are two dudes who stepped their game up huge throughout the series, gave it everything they had. Nate Robinson getting beat up and stepped on and fell on. And good Lord. So he's a tough little son of a gun. Unfortunately, I don't think the Bulls are going to be able to keep him. I just think he made himself too much money in his playoffs. So I'm sure he'll get a multi-year contract from someone. Wish him the best. And the Bulls will just have to retool come next season. Plus, you got Derrick Rose coming back. You got Kirk Heinrich, and you got Marcus Teague. So there's 3-point guards already. Don't necessarily need him. So, you know what? Like I said, I appreciate everything he did. I appreciate everything the Bulls did. I just hope they just take this summer just to get healthy, rest, get healthy for next season. Derrick Rose will be 150%. And, you know, it is what it is. For the Miami Heat, you know, the better team won. You know, they pulled it out. You know, they had a little scare there in the first game. You know, Bulls were able to win 2 games, you know, against Miami, which, you know, some people thought they was getting swept out the door. So they kept it close. For a team that was banged up, they kept it close, but better team won. Miami, LeBron did some good things. D-Wade, even though he hurt his knee a little bit, was able to come back and produce and help the team strive and win. So, you know, got to tip your hat to Miami. They played hard. Even with all the physicality, they battled back just as physical with us, and, you know, they were able to pull it out.
I was hoping for a little bit more, but, I mean, no Dame, no Heinrich.
No, I mean, Rose.
Like, yeah. I mean, even without Rose, the way they were playing, you were like, all right, they could really push Miami. But, I mean, Heinrich would have been a great defender on D-Wade. That didn't happen. You know, you lose pretty much your best wing defender. You know, would have helped out Jimmy Butler guarding LeBron. You lose Dame's ability to score, which he probably was at the time their best scorer. And I mean, it's hard to come back with that. But you want to talk about heart and playing with passion and not giving up. That's what people like to see.
Yep.
Bulls came with it knowing they were undermanned and just didn't care. Like,
and
so
that, I guess that's why I got to tip my hat off to them. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the way they played. I mean, I honestly, as a fan, you really couldn't ask for anything else from them. They gave it everything they had. I mean, you could see it. Physically, they were drained. They were energy-wise, they were drained. But they still fought. I mean, like I said, as a fan, there's nothing more you can ask for from your team than that. And just a fight to the very end. That's what they did.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they gained huge respect from a lot of their peers. I'm sure Tom Thibodeau gained a little bit of respect from some of his peers. And, I mean, hey, I'm excited to see what was in store for next season.
Yeah, I can't wait. Because, unfortunately, the biggest loser, the person who's got to deal with the most, is Derrick Rose. I mean,
yeah.
He just stayed every game. It was like, Derrick Rose is not playing. I'm like, I know Derrick Rose isn't playing. Derrick Rose is not going to play. Stop telling me he's not going to play.
You're going to hear it all season. How come you didn't play? How come you didn't play? How come you didn't play? Everybody else was hurt. How come you didn't play? You were medically cleared. How come you didn't play? It's like, let's leave it alone. It is what it is. He didn't come back this season. He'll be 150% next season. And let's just focus on next season. Not even worry about this. I honestly don't even want to hear his reasoning for not wanting to come back. I really don't, because I already know his reasoning. He wants to be mentally ready. Fine.
Yeah. He didn't feel like he could jump and cut and be that 100%
be Derrick
Rose. And even his coach was like, we'd rather him err on the side of caution. We'd rather him not play at all than play and hurt himself. And he's like, that's it. season's over.
Exactly.
So now we don't have to worry about it no more.
Now here we stand, Miami, Indiana, for the Battle of Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to go out on a limb here, boy. I really am. I'm going to say Indiana is going to win the series in seven.
Ooh.
I am. I just think with the battle that the Bulls gave Miami, I think that really drained them. I think that opened some eyes a little bit. I think Miami's still a little worn down from that series. I mean, they got beat down by Chicago. So you got another team that's coming in to do the same thing. They don't like you already. You got these young guys who last year, they were kind of a surprise team, you know, playing Miami, fought them tough, lost in six. And now you got them back again. They kind of flew under the radar, did their thing throughout the season, were consistent throughout the season, and here we are. You know, they got two keys that they have that Miami just cannot deal with, which is they have a solid center and they rebound very well. So
yep.
For those two reasons, that is why I'm going with Indiana. And I think the key for Indiana to win this series for me is going to be Roy Hibbert again. If Roy Hibbert can dominate like he did, you know, these past two games against New York, oh my goodness, they're going to eat them up. Because of his size, because of his height, there's nobody on Miami that can guard him. I mean, you have Chris Anderson who can kind of stick with him, but he's just too big for him. He's too big. And, I mean, you can't throw Chris Bosh on him. You don't want to put Udonis Haslam on him because he's just too tall. So he is the X factor. He is the mismatch machine for them. And if he can, you know, pretty much force them to double-team him, open things up for the other guys, it's a riggedy rap, son. And then for the Miami Heat, the key is going to be Ray Allen. I don't know where he went in this last series against Chicago. He really didn't find his stroke very much. He's going to be key for them. He's going to need to step his game up and play very well and have a very good series in order for Miami to win.
All right. I think it's going to go 7-2. I would like to see Indiana win. I just think Miami is going to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think for Indiana, I agree. It is going to be Roy Hibbert. I think David West is going to be probably just as important, so I'll say David West. He's had his quiet moments. He didn't do much in game six. I know sometimes they get away from him, so he doesn't get up to 10-plus shots that I think he needs to get. But to me, last year, Miami got away with putting Shane Battier on him, which drove me nuts as a fan watching. I'm like, I would feel totally disrespected. You put Shane Battier on me, and I don't get that many touches. And like, no, you put Shane. All right, put Shane Battier on me again.
Yeah, he's going to have to demand the ball.
He's the leader, you know. He's got to keep them focused. You know, they get a little, you know, hyped up playing Miami, and he has to keep them focused on one game at a time, doing the little things they need to do. If they have to keep rebounding the ball well, pound it inside, they cannot turn the ball over like they've been doing in them losses.
Nope.
They turn the ball over, Miami is just out and running. That's just point for the Heat. For Miami, I think it's going to be Chris Bosh. I can see him being matched up with Roy Hibbert, you know, and them both having a difficult time guarding each other because Bosh can't handle him inside. And, you know, Roy is not going to want to come outside to guard Bosh.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see more Mahimi. You'll probably see more of Hansborough. But Chris Bosh, he didn't play last year, and people will say, well, he didn't play last year and they won, but, you know, this ain't the same Indiana team. You know, just getting to the second round was big for them. Now they get a rematch versus the team that they probably want to beat. I remember being up 2-1 on them and just lost their composure. Couldn't pull it out. And I think Chris Bosh has to be consistent. They're going to get beat up. LeBron James, that's going to be a matchup on both ends. People will say, you know, Paul George is going to get tired guarding LeBron. Well, if I'm Paul George, I'm making him tired too.
Mm-hmm.
Tired guarding me. Dwayne Wade is not 100%. And Lance Stephenson, I don't know how much of a job he's going to do, but I like his size and athleticism on D. Wade, slowing him down. So I think Chris Bosh has got to step up and almost, I think, be that number two scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, show that you're there. Don't just be like, hey, I'm just the third guy. I'm the third wheel having a good time, hanging out with y'all, getting W's and getting rings. He needs to step up.
Mm-hmm.
I know if they lose, if your prediction comes right and they lose this series, everybody's going to be looking at him.
Yep.
I mean, he was already talking about getting frustrated of hearing about Joakim Noah and his matchup with them. I mean, it's more the same.
Mm-hmm.
More of the same. So, yeah, I think Miami's going to pull this one out. It ain't going to be easy, though.
All right, now.
We're going to come right back, talk some more sports, y'all. Listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Holla!
You looking stiff. I say you took it there. What's up with you? Hey, what's up with you? What you gon' do?
Gonna do.
You want me, don't you?
You want me, don't you?
I know you do.
I know you.
Yeah, I want you too.
I want you too.
You wanna do me? I know it's me. Yeah, I know it's me. I hope it's me. See when you notice me.
Notice me.
I noticed you.
I noticed you.
You say what up?
You say what up?
What up with you?
What up with you?
The things you do and who you do it to. Watch what you do. I'm seeing you. I know what's good for you.
Good for you.
It's just 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 for you.
Check, to be my check, if you gon' be my check, to be my check. Don't talk no shit.
Talk no shit.
Who you with?
Who you with?
Are you with him?
Are you with him?
The package.
The package.
I guess it's meant for us to split. It must be meant for us to split. I be the man.
I be the man.
To understand.
To understand.
I understand.
I understand.
I be the man.
I be the man.
See what you do. It's up to you. It's up to you. What you do. It's up to you.
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 Smile in my face to show me the nice. But behind my back, you, you be bringing the wack stuff. When you say, hush your buzz on some stuff. You be on my Disney, do that dance trick. Nah, everything you do, you fall back. Hey, you lack, cause you be bringing the wack stuff. The f*** just running his mouth. I ain't seeing that. Troop you making up. But you want my, and you want my, and you want my, I want your click in a special way,
a special way,
a special way,
special,
a special way,
special,
a special way,
special way,
special way,
a special way,
special way.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. More news around the NBA. It's been very interesting for the teams who ain't there. The new Sixers GM called the bottom trade a failure, which in hindsight it is. I mean, if they knew.
Yeah, they traded basically young pieces for nothing. They traded Iguodala and some of their young pieces for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, they watched Steve Vucevic basically being a double-double machine. And they like, really? We could have had him and Iguodala still.
Mo Harkless.
Oh, Mo Harkless
stepped up a little bit. That was a failure. GM called it right. He called it a failure. And I appreciate what he said about Andrew Bynum. He's just another free agent because that's exactly what he is. I mean, this is a kid who felt entitled his whole time being here in the LA Lakers. You know, he gets traded to Philadelphia and. Has issues with his knees, then has a bowling incident where he hurts his knee, and it was just a big mess. And we had the whole story about his hair, and it was just too much to deal with. So I just think with the GM coming in, he doesn't want to really deal with it. I mean, I'm sure, of course, he's going to try to re-sign Bynum. I'm sure, you know, no one just let it go for nothing.
No.
But I'm sure he's not just going to open his wallet up to this guy.
Nope, it's going to be a short, maybe 2-year deal.
Don't worry, he ain't going to have to go far. The Charlotte Bobcats are going to offer him 4 years, 70 million.
Yeah, and he was like, all right, take it. Because I'm not, I ain't taking that money. I mean, he.
Oh, my goodness.
Bro. Yeah, I mean, he's going to get some money. But, I mean, this might be his last contract.
His knees are done, man.
He's been getting like 4 or 5 surgeries. Like, dang, dude, really?
He's through. You on that Greg Oden status.
Yeah, you know, Greg Oden trying to come back. That's how Burma's going to be. You know, Lakers, y'all should be grateful. Y'all should be real grateful.
They'll only be grateful if Dwight Howard resigns.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
Because then he'd be like, well, you wouldn't keep an Andrew Bynum anyway, so.
Yep. It's a wash.
Right. Sorry for my folks in Seattle. I know y'all was trying, but it looks like NBA was like, nope, they're going to stay, and Luce agreed to sell. To the team, to the folks in Sacramento. Seattle tried. They upped the money. I just think the fact that Sacramento was in there so long, their fans were just so loyal, and they really did not want to see them leave Sacramento.
Yeah.
They were like, basically were like, anything we can do to help keep Sacramento in there, they did. And that's how it felt to me. They were like, we do not want this team to leave. And what I think is kind of fucked up is I think they felt that way after seeing the Sonics leave to go to Oklahoma City. And they saw the, you know, reaction to that, and you're like, wow, we actually let – you know, granted, Oklahoma City has a strong fan base, nothing against them. Cause, I mean, they come out. But,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Seattle, they got some diehards up there too. And, you know, you hate being that team, and, you know, they want a team. I'm thinking they're just going to have to find another team to buy because NBA's not going to add another team.
You know, they said they maybe have another opportunity within a couple of years, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Hope they get a team up there soon enough.
Yeah. But I'm sure Sacramento fans are like, we appreciate y'all, Maloose, brother. The hell out.
Yep, get the fuck out. And now we're going to be good again.
Yeah, Geoff Petrie, yeah, you have skills, and then you just lost them joints.
Yep. But, I mean, I'm sure some of it has to do with the owner. The owner's got to sign off on everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, when your team is like that, even like how they were before the Maloose bomb, when your team is like that, clearly it starts at the top.
Yeah. So, we shall see what happens with that.
You going to get Phil Jackson a new book? You going to read it?
Hell no. I already heard what I needed to hear.
Yeah, I mean, but they put the – I mean, is anybody really surprised? I mean,
no.
Really? Did you? Anybody
like
really think
he
was going to side with Kobe over Michael Jordan?
When you said what he said, it was like, okay. I mean, no duh, Sherlock.
Yeah, Michael's a better leader, yes. I mean,
no,
I think
question.
They both are hard on their teammates. You know, Jordan was gotten to a scrap with his teammates.
But when it comes to the social side and, you know, hanging out and kicking it with your teammates and getting to know guys, Jordan was much better at it than Kobe.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe's kind of, you know, too little to himself. And
yeah, he didn't get it. He didn't get it until after his that rape trial.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, shit, I can't be this recluse anymore. I need to hang out with some people.
Exactly.
I mean, we already heard the Smush Parker just going off on him. Talking that shit. And, you know, he said Michael Jordan the better defender, which we'd all be like, yes, we agree with that, too.
Yep.
Now, Kobe was not the aggressive defensive player all the time.
No, he takes a lot of chances. He kind of freelances a little. Whereas Jordan would kind of just zone in and just dominate.
Yeah. And,
let's not forget the other number. Jordan has one more, so.
Oh, of course. I mean, he... You know, technically, he was the best player on his team on all 6 championships.
Yep.
Kobe was on 2 of his.
Yep.
Now, he didn't have the luxury of having a post presence. And I'm looking at this joint with Kobe tweeting the comparisons of apples and oranges. I wonder what the perception would be if Jordan played with Shaq instead of different role players. I'm like, well, yep, yes. Part of the reason Jordan gets the pub he does is – he played when without a dominant big man. And up to
in
that
the era point, of dominant big men.
Yeah. And up to that point, most teams had to have some kind of dominant force. I mean, you know, the Detroit Pistons didn't have nothing like offensively, but you had at least defensive dominance down low. Like, you are not getting nothing in here easy. We're putting you on
your head. You had Lambeer, you had Mahorn, you had John Sally. So
yeah, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis
who
Rodman
was on your
the team
for three of them six championships.
Mm-hmm. And then you have they had Luke Longley on the Bulls, who was there, whatever.
Yeah, Bill Cartwright, who were you know he made you know Jordan made sure to get them dudes off.
Mm-hmm.
You knew
and
all the
Horace Grant and all that.
Yeah. I mean, Kobe complained, but I'm like, you can't be on the bitch injured tweeting about y'all need to go in and throw it in the paint. Y'all need to play down low. I'm like, dude, when you healthy, they never play down low.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, when you hurt, now we got to play like we've been playing like this all the time. We haven't.
Exactly.
You like to shoot jumpers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I'm curious to read it a little bit, but I'm like, the comparison is we know Mike better.
Exactly. We know Mike's better. Let's just keep it that way.
Right. It's just, Phil Jackson said it. I'm like, Phil Jackson been saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You just say Kobe different.
Exactly.
You going to make him choose.
Of course he's choosing Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The dude who helped me get my first championships? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He all NBA defensive team. First and second.
Man, it was weird. I have to say, it was weird because we both agreed when we talked about the awards that we, you know, Pau Gasol, I mean, excuse me, Marc Gasol was deserving of his Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know how the hell that the coaches did not put him first team. Granted,
has that ever happened?
I don't know. I had to look that up. I mean, granted, I know.
Defensive Player of the Year doesn't even make the first team all defensive team? Like,
well, I know the coaches picked the defensive teams, and I think the writers picked the Defensive Player of the Year, which I was like, wow, that's weird.
And there was a split. It looked like there was a split between Noah and Chandler for the center.
Both on there.
Which was like, okay, so we got six people. Okay.
Yeah, six first team. I was kind of shocked to see. Not really, I guess, Chris Paul as the starting two point guard.
Point guard. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wow, really? And I don't think Iguodala didn't make it.
Nope.
Or neither one. He was pissed. He kind of
believe it.
I was like, really? I'm not? Okay. Yeah, that was weird to me. I'm like, Marc Gasol the second? I was like, okay, that's supposed to be a slap in his face. Like, oh, they just gave you the award on accident.
Exactly. I mean, Tony Allen definitely deserved to make it first team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, LeBron was on there, of course.
Yeah, of course he's going to be. Got
to
be.
Your boy made it to the second team again.
That dude is just...
Tim
just,
Duncan is
so
making it just all defensive all the time.
God, I hope they win one more. I hope as hell they can win number five.
Well, they already got, the second most wins by a trio?
Yeah, Tim Duncan got, ever since since he came to them... They got the best playoff winning percentage. I'm like, come on.
He's the best power forward ever.
Man, he underrated his impact. You know, they sit him down. His coach sits him in game six under 3 minutes to go. I'm like, we're going to put Splitter in. We're going to have you on the bench. I don't know any other player who would be like, all right, do what you got to do. Fools me on there. Why are you sitting me down and just sitting there fuming and pissed and I didn't think it was right.
He trusts his
I
coach.
I wanted to play.
He knows his coach will make the best decision for the team.
Yep.
So, it is what it is. And then you move on to the all-rookie team.
Yep.
I mean, the rookie team, all that really showed me is that is kind of how weak this draft really was. I mean, seriously, you look at the guys who made it. They were all lottery picks. You didn't have any guys like, you know, picked in the 20s, the second round. No really surprise guys. I mean, you had Anthony Davis, who was the number one pick. Deion Waiters made it, who was the number three pick.
Bradley.
Then you got
think.
Excuse me, the number 4 pick. He had Bradley Beal, who was the number 3 pick. He had Damian Lillard, who was the number 6 pick. And he had Harrison Barnes, who was the number 7 pick. 1 through 7. That is your all-rookie team. Like I said, that just showed me that this draft kind of lacked some depth. There weren't really many impact players from the lottery pick down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Damian Lillard, I mean, he came out, he made a statement. Showing that you don't have to go to a huge, big-time school, once again, to play at this level. I mean, he dominated in college, he dominated in the league, so he's a very huge building block for Portland. And with he and LaMarcus Aldridge, those are two definitely solid building blocks to start with. And, you know, sky's the limit for them.
Yeah, man. I know this year's draft is supposed to be, I guess, more bottom heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, that means this will probably be the year that the Bobcats get it, or the soon to be Hornets in a year or two.
You know what the funny thing is? You know what the funny thing is?
What?
This is a quote unquote deep draft. The Lakers don't even have a fucking pick.
Yeah, I keep hearing they're trying to trade and get it. I'm like, yeah, y'all need some youth now, huh?
Oh, they want some picks now. Oh, okay. Have to train them away for the past 5 years. Okay.
Hey, I know we got the draft lottery coming up on Tuesday. Who do you think is gonna get it? It seemed like the
Bobcats
never get it. You think the Bobcats gonna get it?
Bobcats got number 2 last year. They're gonna get number 1 this year. I hope they get number 1. They deserve it. They need some kind of talent. I don't know. I hate to say it, but God, Jesus, as great a player, Jordan may have been the best player ever, but he is by God the worst owner ever in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, but this would make it even more because it's like, all right, the draft where there is no clear cut number 1 pick, I get the pick finally. Like, how come I couldn't get it last year?
Finally, you had the number 1 pick and you picked Kwame Brown.
That wasn't a cinch either. Every draft where it's been like, all right, for sure, these are the top 2 guys. You just got to make the smart pick. Like, nope.
Well, he had the opportunity to make the smart pick, and he passed it up when he passed up Brook Lopez. All I got to say about that one.
That's why I would feel bad if he got the number 1 pick, because he's like, oh, shit, I don't know who to pick.
So,
I'm trading down.
Yeah. They'll be looking forward to another top 3 pick next year, so it doesn't even make a difference.
Right.
They're terrible.
Another year of mediocrity.
Hopefully. Not even mediocrity, just terrible, just horrible play overall.
Can you double your win?
You almost forget they're in the league.
Yeah, they never on television. Nobody wants.
Nope. Them. They are garbage. So we'll see.
Yeah. Quick jaunt around the NFL. I think Donovan McNabb is calling it quits, hanging him up. Do we think he'll make the Hall of Fame?
Damn right he should make the Hall of Fame. When Donovan McNabb was in his prime, he was a top 3 quarterback. You could put him up there with the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's. And he was what Michael Vick was supposed to be. He was a guy, look, here's a guy who was the number 2 pick. He came out, you know, guy who could run, he could move around. He was one of the few. You know, when he came out, there wasn't a whole lot of guys who were running around and moving around and this and that and all that stuff. So he was one of the few. He was the one that came in, and then when he came in, he got booed. Got booed by the Philadelphia Eagles fans, which was already like, good Lord, welcome to the NFL. And then, you know, he worked his way up, and shoot, he led them to 4 NFC championships, led them to the Super Bowl, and I mean, he could kill you with his arm or his legs. And for a while, I considered him the best quarterback in the league, based off his dual threat ability. And because he was so good with his arm, that made him even more dangerous. The only setback with Donovan McNabb was the injuries. That was his Achilles heel. You know, he had the injury bug. I know he had the whole issue when we had the Super Bowl and he was throwing up in the and the huddle and all that. But to me, he has to be Hall of Famer if for one reason only is because when you look at what he was able to do, he did it almost Tom Brady-esque with few weapons, very few weapons, especially at the receiver position. You saw when he finally got a legit receiver in T.O. and went to the Super Bowl. To me, that's not a coincidence.
Oh, no. He's proven that he can win with the limited talent he has. You know,
I mean, he put
sad.
Up numbers with bums.
Yeah. It was just sad because you like he got, like, nobody's. And even though
and it was like when
Brian
we,
Westbrook
when
was
we,
solid, but he wasn't. He was more of a receiving running back. He wasn't a runner.
Yeah, he wasn't like he got exactly. And then I mean, you and then when you did get him receiver, you got him like the worst kind you could get for him. You got him somebody who's gonna argue with him all the time. Like
yeah,
really,
locker room.
It's like
and after
on,
the fact,
man.
After the Super Bowl, gonna be like, oh, well, I saw him throwing up and he was nervous, and I'm like, dude,
it's like, come
you got
on,
hurt
man. You,
like in week 11.
Exactly.
So it's not like, and he still took that team with your injured butt not playing to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put up numbers. I'm like, well, that's because he found your butt. You ain't scored a touchdown, though, did you?
Exactly.
No.
Bottom line, to me, Donovan McNabb is a Hall of Famer, first ballot. I don't think so. But he's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. Because I'm like, for me, at this point, if Chris Carter ain't a first ballot, no motherfucker's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't get that.
I didn't get that one. I didn't get that one. You may not like his personality, but for what he did on the field, he is a first ballot, no-brainer, Hall of Famer. Sorry.
Yeah, I
no
I would agree.
About that.
I think Donovan McNabb is I don't think he'll get the first ballot. I think, you know,
you get enough.
But the way he carried himself, and he was a company man and you know, didn't like rattling the cages even when people were pushing him. He didn't like going that route.
He represented the NFL very well.
Yeah, I think he took a little bit of a hit from other players, you know, for him just not going back at guys and feeling like he was siding more with the organization than the players.
This is the chunky man. This is chunky soup right here.
Yep.
We don't even see those commercials like that no more.
He made his dough, had his mama in the commercial. But
mm-hmm.
definitely, I mean, with getting as far as he did and being as successful with not many weapons on the offensive end, I think he should get in. And yes, Chris Carter is a damn top three, top five for sure, but top
well,
three.
Well, when he retired, he was number two with everything.
Yeah, Mr. All I Do Was Catch Touchdowns?
How did you not get in the – I don't even want to – that's for another debate. That's another day.
That just itches my butt.
And then another quick hit, we got Rolando McClain came out, announced he's going to retire from the league. Hmm. Smart move. This is a 23-year-old young man, came in the league, already has some questionable problems, went to the one team that I don't think he should have went to based off of that reason alone, which was the Raiders. We're a very unstable organization. You see he's had serious charges against him legally. And, I mean, this is a top-10 pick getting cut after 2 years. That says a lot. That speaks volumes.
Oh.
I mean, you had a team like the Ravens who gave him an opportunity. He got another legal issue in Atlanta. So I commend him for taking those steps and saying, you know what, I need some help before I can continue my career. I commend you for that. Why it took this long, I don't know. But the fact that he at least is taking those steps to say, you know what, I need some help, and I'll retire right now, you know, to get my life together first before I do anything else. Good deal. You know, I commend him for that, and I hope he is able to get his life together, and who knows, hopefully in a year or two, be back in the league. I mean, we see the guys get second chances all the time. He shouldn't be any different.
No, it might just be time for him to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
In this sport, definitely, there is nothing wrong with retiring early and retiring young. Keep your health, keep your sanity, and, you know, I think you need to spend some more time off the field getting your life together.
Mm-hmm. Unlike another young man who had to deal with it the hard way instead of on his own terms, Titus Young. I mean, look, when I first heard about this kid, I was just like, there has to be something wrong with him. Like, when I actually read an article that really listed, like, every single thing he did, he had something mentally has to be wrong with him. Because at first I was just like, he's just a bad guy. You know, and then to come, you know, his dad came out and said he had a disorder, a brain disorder and stuff. I kind of rolled my eyes at first because to me it was just like, here we go. Anytime somebody do something bad, it's like, well, something wrong with him. But after reading an article and hearing his teammate Stephen Tulloch come out and say, you know what, he actually did talk to me, you know, and when talking to him, I could see that he wasn't right in the head and, you know, he was telling me about his disorder. He said he couldn't really name it back, but, you know, told him about it and a little bit of information on it. So to me, it's clear then, yeah, something is wrong with him. This was a guy who had issues going back to college. You know, he's a California kid, had issues at Boise State, so it was already a risk. You know, he was already a red flag going into the league, went to the Detroit Lions, who, once again, another team who has a history of just dudes screwing up. And, you know, it was time. Another guy who got cut, let go after 2 years in the league for insubordination. You know, he's yelling at his receivers coach. He's lining up in the wrong place on purpose just because he's pissed off for not getting the ball. You can't do that, man. You can't do that. You can't do that.
You really gonna say you better than Megatron?
And for all the crap that I talk, and say about T.O. never lined up in the wrong place for on purpose. You know, when he was on the field, T.O. was a great player. Yes, he did some boneheaded things. He does some dumb things, but to, you know, sabotage your team, that's a different story.
Yeah.
And that's seriously crossing the line. And to get cut by the Lions, get picked up by the St. Louis Rams, who you have a coach in Jeff Fisher who has dealt with guys who have personal issues, Janoris Jenkins, Vince Young, the list goes on and on. Albert Haynesworth, for you to be waived after a week, not even after like 5 days of being with the team, that speaks huge volumes. That this coach who deals with players like you can't even have you on the team for so long. That's a problem. So to me, something's wrong. It's clear he's something in his brain ain't right, and he's another one that needs to get his life together and get his life on straight and, you know, seek help before he can do anything else.
Yeah, it's a lot of mental illness not taken into effect. I don't take it as a cop-out or an excuse for why guys do what they do. I don't think that's not an excuse, but it's just something to be concerned about.
Yeah.
When this, you know, you got a guy who gets arrested 3 times in 12 days, you know, various things can do you after stealing from a gas station convenience store.
Not to mention getting arrested 2 times in a 15-hour span.
Yeah. He's like, all right, this guy... It's more than
how you
like,
get pulled
right,
over for like DUI and then go and try to steal your car from the impound. What is wrong with you? Something is mentally wrong with you. Something wrong in your head.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, dude. Like, you know who you are, right? You know that you are a professional athlete, which means
you know
like
people know who you are.
Dude, yeah, I'm like, his dad even like, I don't even recognize this person. Like, oof. Yeah, help.
Yeah, dude.
No,
get some
help. And I'm like, you know what? Damn, fuck football. Get you some help.
Yeah.
So maybe,
seriously.
You know, maybe getting you some help, you can play better. And, you know, maybe we'll be talking about something positive going on the field rather than like, what the fuck did he do now?
You know, and we see guys all the time who, like I said, the NFL gives second chances to guys. You know, you look at a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, was kicked off of LSU for cocaine abuse and things of that nature, got himself cleaned up, took a year off from football, you know, got picked in the third round of the draft, you know, and now he's playing with the Arizona Cardinals. So you see guys can get help. You know, you just have to take the right path. You have to be mature about it. Like I said, there lies the difference between a guy like Rolando McClain and a guy like Titus Young. Rolando McClain had the option and decided himself to retire, take a step back, and go seek some help. Titus Young is now basically he ain't got no choice. He has to get help.
Right, because ain't nobody.
You know, ain't nobody picking him up. You're not on your terms anymore, dude. You're on everybody else's terms. You have to get help. Have to.
Yeah.
So I just pray for the kid, and I hope he can get some help. And you know, all these young guys. I mean, this is a grown man's game.
Yeah,
it's a grown man's league.
You got, you know, dude like Chad Johnson getting issued a warrant for failing to report to his PO. I'm like, God, like, dude, like, do you really want to get back in the league? Because it sure as hell don't seem like it. I'm like,
this is a grown man's league. You
gotta
keep your head on straight.
Yeah, that ain't no mental disorder. That's just plain stupid.
Yeah, Chad Johnson, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just a fool. He's just a clown. He's a crazy guy. He just likes to act a fool, and you know he does what he does.
Dude, get your shit together, man. Come on, like you are falling fast.
Everybody can't be Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. We can't have it all like that.
Some guys just can't handle themselves with all that fame and attention and spotlight. Some guys are just classy, and other guys just. Don't even know
class is. Exactly.
So, like, come on, man. Get it together. What do we got? Do we think Ryan Tannehill can be as good as Big Ben? I know Mike Wallace thinks he can.
How about we give him 13 years? this is what I'm talking about. Like, the kid's been in the league 1 year. But secondly, don't compare him to Ben Roethlisberger yet. Ben Roethlisberger won a championship his rookie season. Do not compare him to Ben Roethlisberger at all.
I think it was his second year. But, I mean, he had a top-5 defense and a running game. Miami has neither.
Miami has none of those things.
Right.
So
Tannehill has some talent. I mean, he's got some good things. Now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, a scrambler. He's big. He just keeps plays going. I don't know if Tannehill is going to do all of that. You know,
he's an interesting athlete. He's an interesting quarterback in the aspect that he played wide receiver in college.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of sees things a little differently than probably some quarterbacks do. Reads things a little differently, and he's very athletic, you know, but he's not as big as Big Ben. You know, I don't know if his arm is as strong as Big Ben's. You know, he has the mobility. You know, he can create, he can scramble around. I don't know if he's as strong as Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, as we all know, is a guy who, when the pocket collapses, 3, 4, 5 guys can grab him, and he can still escape out of it. He can still get out of it and still find a way to throw the ball and get it out of his hands. So, we've seen Ryan Tannehill for 1 year. He was the one quarterback in that awesome draft class that really wasn't boo-hooed and talked about very much. I mean, you had your big three. He was the fourth. You know, he did some good things. He did some great things. But unfortunately, his team was the one that didn't make the playoffs. Did they improve? Definitely. Definitely improved. And he did some good things with very, very little talent. No, he didn't have much as wide receivers, or you know, even a running game, really. Now, Reggie Bush didn't have the year he had before, so it wasn't the same. So I look for him to make some strides this year, and you know, step his game up. But as far as Ben Roethlisberger's comparison, let's give it at least 10 years. Let's let the kid play a little bit longer first before we start making these comparisons.
I like to give it 5. I'm like, all right, clearly.
Like, jeez, you know, freaking
weed. He doesn't have a team around him. He doesn't have a team or organization around him.
Been in the league 1 year.
Yeah. Can he get Miami to the playoffs? First, that's it. If you can't get your team to the playoffs, you ain't as good as nobody.
Andrew Luck is Joe Montana. He's going to be just as good. Like, what? Can you give the kid like a year to play? Come on, give him some time. We'll see.
RG3 going to be better than Tom Brady.
My God. First, RG3 need to be better than Randall Cunningham. Let's just get it cracking.
RG3 need to stay healthy.
Exactly. Let's hold our horses here.
Right. David Garrard retiring. He got knee issues still. And I'm like, he was picked to almost start or to be the number two guy with the Jets. I'm like, the Jets can't catch a break nowhere.
He was a guy with the Jags who did some good things as a starter, but just could not stay healthy to save his life. And, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, especially for New York, now they got to basically, once again, gift-wrapping Mark Sanchez's starting job, unless Geno Smith just says F it and just blows him out of the water in the offseason.
I know that's
what they want to happen. I know they would just love for Geno Smith to just explode and so they can just be like, all right, for sure. Mark Sanchez, you cut.
David Garrard getting hurt ruined that because they were like,
yep.
Now we can't cut. David Garrard as a backup, we good. We don't need you no more. I know they're like, God damn you, dude. Now we're going to have to keep Mark Sanchez. Damn it.
They may not, though. Let's not forget about Greg McElroy. He started over Sanchez last year and won a game. So we'll see what direction they're going to be headed in. But the Jets are the Jets. I'm not expecting too much out of them this season.
No. And last time before we get out of here, it seems like the last few weeks we've been talking about homosexual issues in sports. Of course, this one comes up with Brittany Griner. Says, at Baylor, they weren't allowed to talk about the sexual orientation, according to her coach, that, you know, they didn't want to mess up recruiting or anything. This was a little, word? You know, but realize.
Yeah, the way it came out, it seemed worse than it really is. Because, I mean, like you told me, I didn't realize it was, you know, it's a religious school.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Private Baptist school. Wake
you know,
Texas.
I didn't know that. So, you know, in the middle of Texas, and, you know, we all know how Texas can be about gays and the mentally challenged. So, I get it. You know, and I understand. I understand. I'm not naive, but, you know, once again, it's one of those things where we in the 21st century. We know gays are, you know, they're out there. They're out there. They're coming. They're populating. They all over the place. They're coming out the closet. They coming out the closet every day. So, I mean, it is what it is. You deal with it. When she came out and said it wasn't shocking. I kind of already knew she was, but, you know, it is what it is.
For us, for the brothers and laymen here, it's not a big deal like that. It's like, all right.
Yeah, we don't have
to.
Okay.
So if you want to share it, that's fine. I mean, you know, I don't need to see, you know, heterosexuals showing all their crap out and like, all right, jeez.
I mean, the whole not using it for recruiting, though, that kind of threw me off because it was like, well, damn, I mean.
You're not encouraging it. I mean.
Yeah,
know.
I mean, but, you know, you got to let people be who they are.
Yeah, I mean, according to Brigham, she said she told the coach, was like, hey, I want to let you know I'm gay. And I'm like, he's like, well, you know her ass ain't going to say no. Like, oh,
especially being a star player.
We can't not take, I don't think we can have you on our school. He's like, her school would have been like, you stupid. What?
Yep.
No, we don't want Brittany Griner at Baylor. Hell yeah, we want this girl at this school.
Exactly. They put y'all on the map.
Once in a lifetime players.
Exactly. So,
if you go to a Christian school and in a handbook, it's all about purity and singleness, fidelity and marriage between a man and a woman. And if you don't really vibe around that, we don't really mess with that. And we don't like people participating in advocacy groups. We promote the understanding that's contrary to the biblical teaching. I'm like, okay. I was like, but, you know, most schools, they're aware. They can't, you know, if they assume that every one of their students is heterosexual, I'm like, yeah, I doubt that.
I doubt that. Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Yeah, but will it affect, and Baylor's going to take a hit for it, a little hit.
Small.
The fact that they are, you know, a Baptist Christian school, people are like, we ain't going to talk about it. I mean, they're not. Like, hey, whatever you are, we're
I mean, your school has rules. Your school has rules, and you know, you abide by them. I mean, you look at the kid from BYU. came out that he had sex and all that stuff, and they, you know, took him off the team and all that other stuff. I mean, if your school has rules, your school has rules. I mean, some religious-based schools have different set of rules than, you know,
yeah,
a lot of the other schools out there. So, you go to the school, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Yeah, if you go to school, you know you're going to have to be in service. Like, it's mandatory.
You know,
you got to go to church and all that stuff.
You know the rules. You know what goes down. So if you don't agree with it, don't go there.
Yeah. If you're trying to be bad in college, you get your freak on and drink early and all that, don't go to one of these schools.
Nah.
I mean, it's
go
just,
to public school. Go to private school.
Right.
I mean, you can go to a private school and do it. Just make sure you know the ins and outs of the school. Make sure you know what school you're going to.
Do your research, people, please.
Exactly. Make sure you read upon the school you're applying to. Don't just apply to school, just apply to school.
Everybody can tell you where the party schools are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to thank y'all once again for tuning in to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. If y'all got questions or comments, y'all want to let us know, hit us up. Let us know how we doing. Just give us your feedback. You can email the show, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Or you can call the Happy Hour, 323-455-4219. Follow our podcast on Stitcher and iTunes. Please leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. We'd always appreciate that. Give us a thumbs
5-star.
Up on Stitcher. And holla. You can always go to www.blackisonline, home of the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, as well as Culture Connection with Brother Malcolm, who
Brother Malcolm
is in the UK right now having a ball. His pictures are up on the website. He's got a couple good interviews in the pipeline.
Doing it big British style. Look out for Chip, London boy.
And, of course, the Black Is Break with our host, with Casey Layman.
Going on, sister?
Yeah, check us out.
Yeah,
we all about, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns y'all may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all trying to hear us say, anything y'all want to reply to, respond to, critique to, it doesn't even matter what it is. Just hit us up sometime.
All right.
And from the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, this has been Chris and Jonathan. We're giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy.
Holla.
Nasty, that is probably somewhat of a travesty having me. Then he told the people, you can call me your majesty. Keep your battery charged, he know it won't stick, yo. And it's not his fault you kick slow. Should've let your trick hold, chick hold your sick glow. Plus nobody couldn't do nothing once he let the brick go. And you know I know, that's a bunch of snow. The beat is so butter, peep the slow cutter as he utter the calm flow. Don't talk about my mom, yo. Sometimes he rhyme quick, sometimes he rhyme slow, or vice versa. Whip up a slice of nice verse pie. I hit it on the first try, villain, the worst guy. Spot hot tracks like spot a pair of fat asses. Shots of the scotch from out the square shot glasses. And he won't stop till he got the masses. And show him what they know not through flows of hot molasses. Do it like the robot to headspin to boogaloo. Took a few minutes to convince the average boogaloo. It's ugly, like look at you, it's a damn shame. Just remember all caps when you spell the man name. Like a poet, like baby doll. I bet she tried to say she gave me her all. She played ball. All bets off, the villain got the dice rig. And they say he accosted the man with the slice wig. Allegedly, the investigation is still ongoing. In this pesky nation, he got the best con flowing. The pot doubles, now they really got troubles. Madman never go like snot bubbles.